Hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth as a baby, God spoke these words through Isaiah the prophet. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Sam's going to bring us our first reading, which is from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus, Emmanuel.
We're going to have our second reading now, which Alice is going to bring to us from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 4.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
To ask what may seem an obvious question, why is it that the birth of this baby is such a key event in the history of mankind? There are some clues in the circumstances of his birth. And I think, as we found earlier on, you know, I never realised there was going to be a tune that I'd completely not heard of to our little town of Bethlehem. I just assumed that's like the tune. till Stephanie obviously opened the music book and got a shock. It just shows, doesn't it, that you can get so familiar with things that you make assumptions. Perhaps we do that with the birth of Jesus. Let's see if we find a few new insights this afternoon. So, let's have a look at some of those clues as to why this is such a momentous event. Firstly, it took place in Bethlehem. How is that significant? Well, Bethlehem was the place where it was prophesied that Israel's ruler, the Messiah, would be born. It had been foretold hundreds of years before. And Matthew chapter 2 quotes the prophet. He tells us that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. That's because he thought, a king of the Jews, that's me. And all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, Bethlehem was the birthplace of King David, 1,000 years earlier. And the people were hoping for a ruler to come who would be like David, a strong leader who would rid them of the Romans that held them in subjugation. Also, Bethlehem, what's it mean? It means house of bread, house of bread. In chapter 6 of his Gospel, John tells us that after miraculously feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, you probably remember just using 5 loaves and 2 fish, I don't think they were very big fish either. After feeding all those people, some amongst the crowd asked Jesus, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? You'd have thought feeding all those people with 5 loaves and 2 fish would have been quite a sign anyway, but what will you do, they asked. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now when the people had escaped from slavery in Egypt, they were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And God miraculously provided something that they called manna. It was like wafers, and they ate this and were sustained. He also provided quails, but that's another story. So these people were saying, look, you know, when Moses was around, which was a long time back, he asked God and God provided the manna for all the people in the wilderness. So can you trump that? What kind of sign are you going to give us? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now Jesus is pointing to himself here. He had come down from heaven to be born as a baby. He was pointing to himself as the one who will give life. But they don't understand that. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus pointed to himself as the bread of life, the one who gives life, the one who was born in the house of bread, Bethlehem. And what do we use to remember Jesus when we take communion? Bread, isn't it? Which leads to my next point about Bethlehem. It was in the fields around Bethlehem that the lambs were born and raised to provide the sacrifice at Passover. Now, you probably remember that Jesus was arrested at the time of the Jewish feast of Passover. That was a feast in which they remembered how God had freed them from slavery. In that event, thousands of years earlier, they had been told to sacrifice a lamb and to mark their houses with the blood of the lamb so that no harm would come to them. And in commemorating that at Passover, in the temple, lambs would be sacrificed in remembrance of God protecting them and saving them. Those lambs had to be kind of spot on. They had to be exactly right. And so the priests would only authorise lambs from certain flocks. And those flocks were kept in the fields around Bethlehem. And in fact, those shepherds who came to visit Jesus and his parents, his earthly parents, on that amazing day, they would have been some of the shepherds looking after those lambs that would be used in the Passover sacrifice. Now, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus coming towards him, about 30 years after Jesus was born, he declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus was identified with the lambs that were in the fields around Bethlehem. And in the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, Jesus is described over and over again as the Lamb that was slain and seen receiving glory and honour and praise. What other clues do we find in the circumstances of his birth? He was visited and worshipped by both poor and rich. The first to come, Luke tells us, are the shepherds, the very people who are raising the Passover lambs. Certainly not the richest of men. I don't think it was a particularly well-paid occupation. Possibly if you were the owner of the flocks, you may have made a good living. But the guys who were out there at night time in the fields trying to make sure the wolves didn't come in and get the lambs, well, I don't think they had minimum wage in those days, so I suspect whatever they got was not a great deal. They were not the richest of men. But Matthew tells us that sometime later, the visitors have a much higher status. We refer to them usually as three kings in that famous song. Though the number of them is only inferred because they carry three gifts. You're familiar with them, aren't you? Gold, frankincense and myrrh. Valuable gifts indeed. Gold, symbolising Jesus' kingship. Remember, who is it, where is it that he who is to be born king of the Jews can be found? Gold symbolises Jesus' kingship. Frankincense, perhaps symbolising his role as a priest, because the priests would offer incense in the temple. And myrrh, symbolising his subsequent sacrificial death, because myrrh was used for embalming. You may remember that Nicodemus brought it to use when he and Joseph of Arimathea bandaged Jesus' body and placed it in the tomb after his crucifixion. Scripture describes Jesus as both our King and our High Priest, and the one sacrifice through which we are to receive forgiveness, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, why is it so fundamental to our faith that God himself should come to earth as a baby? We could list a number of reasons. I will, a few. By taking human form, he was able to set us an example. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read, "Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Jesus lived on earth for approximately 33 years. He was subject to all the difficulties that we may be subject to. Well, you know, perhaps slightly different. I bet he never had to get frustrated at his computer, but you know what I mean. He shared, as it were, our human weaknesses. He was subject to testing, to temptation, but he never gave in to it. If God had not come down and been born as a baby 2,000 years ago and lived in the way that he did, a perfect life. Where would we look for an example? But in human form, he showed us how to treat others, demonstrating love and compassion for people of all classes and in all conditions. For example, touching the untouchable. Lepers famously reached out and touched lepers that other people would avoid. Befriending the friendless or unpopular. Tax collectors, very unpopular in those days because they were collecting taxes on behalf of the Romans from their own people. Samaritan woman at the well. Woman about to be stoned for adultery. All these people and many more Jesus accepted as they were and set them an example, pointed them in the right direction. He mingled with those of high and low status. A Roman centurion, beggars, a Jewish ruler, Nicodemus himself. Prior to that, the examples we have, Moses, David, Elijah and so on, they were all imperfect. But now the perfect had come himself. And when he taught, it was not anyone who could say, practice what you preach, because he lived what he preached. And what amazing teaching he left us with. But most important of all, this baby was, as John had declared, the one who is able to deal with the sin of the whole world. And he is indeed the one who in due time will judge the whole world. And that's why the birth of Jesus, God incarnate, is so important. That's why we need to not just follow our traditions once a year, but respond to what we hear. That's why we need to come to the one who was born as a baby, but remember that he grew into a man, fully man and yet fully God as well. That's why we need to remember that he is well able to deal with everything that we go through, to help us through it. That's why we need to remember that when we do wrong, we should come to him and ask for forgiveness through his death. Yes, Jesus came as a baby and it was extraordinary circumstances, but it was the events of the next 33 years that are even more fundamentally important, and we must not forget those. That's why we can't really consider his birth without contemplating his death, his resurrection, and the gift that he offers to us, freedom from sin and life eternal in perfection if we follow him. John, in his gospel, described his coming in a certain amount of imagery that is quite familiar. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. We're talking about the same baby still here. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Many still do not. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.